Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is a good day to be here. We are continuing our conversations on issues in aging today. Getting organized, putting together that personal file cabinet, keeping all those forms and documents organized, when to keep them up to date, all that important information. How do you keep it organized? We're going to talk about that with Erica Griffin from Lutheran Senior Services here in just a moment. Before we get to that, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section, and that'll take you to their page. Our listener lines are open today. If you have questions, Erica's here to answer questions, get you connected to the right resources and answer those questions today. So you can give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, or toll free 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us your questions, family@kfuo.org. That's family@kfuo.org. Well, joining me in studio today, Erica Griffin is an elder care specialist with Lutheran Senior Services, and live here in the studio. Erica, thanks so much for coming over today.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here on Faith and Family, and to have your wisdom and knowledge and experience. I know you've been with LSS for some time now. How long have you been with Lutheran Senior Services?
7 years.
And you serve as an elder care specialist. What does an elder care specialist do? I think before you said, what don't we do?
Mainly, we do geriatric care management. A lot of people ask, what is geriatric care management?
So that's a good question.
The definition of it is the process of planning and coordinating the care of elderly and or disabled to improve quality of life and to maintain their independence as long as possible. So Lutheran Senior Services' mission is to live life to the fullest, and we want to keep them into their home as long as possible.
And so your work is a part of outreach services of Lutheran Senior Services. Quite often, I think when people think of Lutheran Senior Services, they think of retirement communities and moving and
yes.
living in a community like that. But your work in outreach services is really to encourage independence and to stay in your home as long as you can, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So one of the things that we thought would be helpful to talk about this week is that personal file cabinet. What are the forms? What are the things that you need to know? What are the things that need to, those forms, those documents, those types of things that all need to be kept up to date and kept in, and organized. And so you're here to help us with that. Keep us wise on all that stuff. So
correct.
Are there lots of forms or just a few forms that people need to keep up to date on a regular basis?
A lot of people just keep everything. So you don't really need to keep everything, especially tax returns and things like that. First, I talk about the way you organize it. You want to kind of group the important things together. Your medical information, your Medicare cards, any other insurance cards, your power of attorney for health care. That's an important paper that you want to have, because if you become incapacitated to where you can't speak for yourself, you want somebody to be able to speak for you. So that's, I always suggest for people to fill that paper out and have it notarized and then make copies for themselves, their doctor, and the person that they choose.
Power of attorney. Now, how do you go about obtaining a document for that?
There's different kinds. Mm-hmm. For the power of attorney for healthcare directive, you can actually print that off the internet. Most attorneys will allow you to print it off for free. I bring them with me when I do my presentations, and I put them into the packets because I give everyone a packet.
So this is a document that would be signed and needs to be notarized. Is that correct?
It has to be notarized.
And it basically gives authority to someone if you are incapacitated. You can't make decisions or choices for yourself.
Right. Just medical, not financial. For financial, you have to go through a lawyer.
Okay. Good to know. All right. So that's one key form that you want to maintain. Now, once you have one of those, does it have to be updated regularly, or is it good for
No, no. You just need to make sure that you give copies to the most important people that needs to know, which is yourself, the person that you choose, and then the hospital or the doctor. Because even if you go into the hospital, they're going to ask you if you have a DNR.
And DNR for our
do
listeners.
Do not resuscitate.
So that's an important question that's going to be asked if you're admitted to the hospital.
Yes. Yes, okay. Always. And also, there are agencies who will help you get those and help you fill those out for free.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So medical documents are certainly important to have. And as you referred to, you give a presentation for groups. This information is put together in a presentation that you give frequently to groups that might be interested. And we can talk about that in a little while, about how a group could request such a presentation as well.
Right.
So medical forms, and you suggest in order to keep things organized, put all the medical documents, all the medical forms together. Is that right?
Yes. Some people like to have a file cabinet and then have a little separation. Mm-hmm. Some people are old fashioned and still use shoeboxes.
That was what I was
going to
get at.
Manila envelopes, whatever works for you. You can get envelopes and write January through December on it. Mm-hmm. It really just depends on, your preference of how you want to keep them.
And it probably depends on how many forms, how many documents you have. For some, just one of those little Pendaflex type folders,
right,
that
the expanding file.
Yeah, the accordion file folders that expand might be able to do it. Now, but you probably want them in a secure place, right?
Yeah, I always suggest that people go out and buy a fireproof safe with a combination or a key lock, something that you can grab and take with you in case of a fire or in case of emergencies.
Now, would you want someone else to be able to have access to these documents as well?
It really just depends on, if they live alone or if they have family that's involved. Mm-hmm. So if they have family that's involved, most of the time they'll let their family know.
Sure. And where these documents are located and how to get access to them.
Correct.
Okay. So in terms of medical forms, we talked about the POA, the power of attorney.
Right. There's also another medical form that's a very important paper that you want to have. It's your medical, your emergency medical information form. And that's a form that you fill out, and you will put all your medical diagnosis, your medication, your doctor, your clergy. In case that something happens and the ambulance has to come into your home, you want to post that paper where they can see it. That way they don't have to try and figure out or go looking for, your information.
Now, where is a good place to post something like that?
Close to the telephone, close to the refrigerator. Okay. There are some smaller ones called the File of Life that you can fill out, and some people like to put it in the refrigerator. Sometimes there's a little small magnetic packet that you can put it in and just post it on your refrigerator. That way they'll already know every medication, your doctor, and emergency contacts.
Interesting. So, it says on the outside of the packet what it is, that it's emergency information.
Yes.
I see. So, the refrigerator. Now would most EMS think to go check the refrigerator for those types of forms?
Some of them it really just depends. Some of them know about the file of life. Mm-hmm. We do some trainings to other agencies and train them about where these things can be, where to look for them. So some of them will, some of them won't.
All right. So the emergency medical information, how often do you want to keep that up to date?
Anytime your medication changes, anytime your medical diagnosis changes, you want to make sure that you keep it, so regularly.
So at least every 6 months, then you probably want to maintain that. Every time you have a physical or a checkup like that, you probably want to make sure that it's up to date.
Yes.
Any other medical forms that should be kept together with the medical information?
Those are your most important ones. Mm-hmm. Your Medicare card, it has your Social Security number on it, so I don't suggest people carry that around with them all the time, because mm-hmm. most of the time the doctor already has your information, and unless they ask for it, you don't really need to carry it around.
So keep that in a secure place as well.
Correct.
And other documents, we talked about POA, at living will.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your living will, that has, well, you don't have to go to a lawyer to fill out a simple living will. Mm-hmm. You can use other agencies who offer to help you with that for free.
Very good. So that kind of sums up the medical forms, right?
Correct.
So health information or medical emergency information, the POA, living will, Medicare cards, things like that, insurance information.
Correct.
All in one folder or in one place. What other documents do you need to maintain, and what next after medical forms?
Next is your personal or family information, your Social Security cards, your birth certificate, death certificates, marriage certificates, your funeral arrangements. A lot of older adults have already paid for their funeral, so they do the prepaid funeral. Your burial plot information, military papers, immigration papers. You want to always keep all those grouped together.
I was just going to say, you were talking about funeral arrangements. Some have already done prepaid services and taken care of them. So they need documentation of that, most likely, on file, I would imagine, to make use of those services.
Right. You want to let somebody know mm-hmm. that you've already done that.
So, I'm sorry, you were talking about other forms, that personal family information, those types of things.
Right. Social Security card, your birth certificate. For Social Security cards, hopefully you're not a person who loses your Social Security card all the time, because there is a lifetime limit on how many times you can apply to get a duplicate Social Security card. For birth certificates, as long as you want to keep paying for it, they'll keep giving them to you.
So all those really important legal documents that really prove something, a birth certificate, a Social Security card, military
right.
information.
Especially if you're a widow mm-hmm. and you're trying to get veterans benefits. If you have their military papers or their DD-214, you're going to need that regardless of anything in order to get any type of benefits from veterans. So mm-hmm. you that's a very, very important paper that you want to have.
We're talking with Erica Griffin. She's an elder care specialist at Lutheran Senior Services, and talking about how to keep your personal file cabinet organized, what to have in that personal file cabinet. If you have questions today, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, family@kfuo.org. Be glad to take some questions as we're digging in. So we've got the medical forms and the personal family information. Any other forms that you can think of that would go into that personal or family information?
That's about it. The next ones are going to be your legal information. Mm-hmm. If you have a living trust, if you have a power of attorney for financial, you want to make sure that you've given copies to who's your power of attorney. If you have a will, if you have any deeds, your automobile title, mm-hmm. You want to make sure that with your title, you're not leaving it in your car. There are some people who leave their title in their car. And if your car is stolen, then they can actually sell your car legally.
Because if they hold the title, then
they can sign it. The state doesn't know that it's not you.
So they can, it's very easy then for that to be
stolen. You want to keep those out of the car. There shouldn't be anything in the car except for a copy of insurance.
Mm-hmm. Now, and proof of registration, right?
Proof of registration.
So you want to keep the any deeds to property, and as you said, the title, your automobile title as well. Wills. Let's talk about wills briefly. I think it's important to understand how a will works, and in your jurisdiction, what, you know, in your state, how those documents work, and what you have to have depending on what state you're in. Some states, probably every state, it has to be notarized, obviously.
Right. Most wills have to be drawn up by a lawyer, mm-hmm. and they'll be your person that's over your estate when you pass away. Some people assume that because they told their children that they can have this or have that, and they can have the house and there's no will, then they end up in probate court, and that's where you don't want to be.
And that can take a while.
It can take a long time.
So having a will is, while it seems kind of tedious and maybe even expensive, it can really be helpful to the...
It can be very helpful, especially if you have
loved ones.
Multiple children, you know, or if they live in different states, mm-hmm. you know, they can't just assume that this is what needs to be done, because that's how you end up in court.
Well, and then you can make sure that all those things that you were saying, as long as they're in writing, they're written down, and it's a legal document, that your final wishes are actually happened.
Correct.
That's followed through on, so
correct.
That those things happen, and the things that you leave behind go to the people that you want them to go to.
Right. That's the job of the attorney, to make sure that those things happen.
So while it might be tedious or even seem like a headache now, it really does save a lot of time and headache and perhaps family disputes.
Yes. A lot
down the road.
Of people don't want to think about death.
Right.
But it is something that, you know, you want to make sure that things are taken care of.
Absolutely. All right. We've got a listener. Let's go to... Let's go to Mary in St. Louis. Good morning, Mary. What's your question?
Hi. I heard your representative there say that forms for living wills and DNR are available online or that way. But I was just wondering if there is a form that would be drawn up that would be based on a biblical perspective of end-of-life issues.
Great question. Great. Thanks for your question, Mary.
You're welcome.
And are you familiar with, Erica, any forms that would reflect a Christian's view of the end of life? I know that there are general living wills and things like that, but to make sure that the document really reflects what you believe in when it comes to matters of end of life. I know we've talked with, we've had other guests on some of our programs regarding those documents, but are you familiar with any specifically?
I am not.
So what you could do is go over that document with your pastor or a trusted Christian counselor.
Correct. I mean, you can always edit. If you go online, I'm pretty sure that if you were to type in specifically what mm-hmm. you're looking for, that there's something out there, you know, or you can always talk to an attorney.
And that's important to just have those open lines of communication when you're talking with an attorney about what it is that's important to you, to make sure that the documents that you have really reflect what it is that you want, what you believe, so that you end up with accurate forms, and,
right.
and so that your wills, your wishes can be carried out.
Right.
Let's go to Jim. Jim is in St. Louis as well. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. One of the things that very important for any family with today's amount of veterans that we're getting, both men and women, is to have a copy of separation or discharge papers of a DD-214.
Correct.
So that should be used for veterans benefits and for burial benefits.
Correct.
And if they haven't done it prior to this, is also take it down to their recorder of deeds at their county seat or here in the city, down to the city hall, because that's a permanent record. And if it gets misplaced, it should be always kept with the personal files of their records. in time of needs in any decision of type of military funeral that they would like to have.
You're correct.
Yeah, made into that also.
Thanks, Jim. You bring up a good point, and I think you mentioned that earlier, didn't you, Erica, that
yes.
If you've served in the military, or if you're the widow or spouse, widow or widower of someone who's served in the military, you want to make sure that you have those proper discharge papers on file.
The DD-214 is your permanent military record. The Veterans Administration uses a lot of forms with letters and numbers. So I don't know. I hope it's not to confuse you. But that's the form that they're going to always need is that DD-214.
Great. Thanks for that call, Jim. Let's go to Mike in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What's your question this morning, Mike?
Hey, listen, you know, I know this, that when you apply for veteran benefits, whatever, you have to have your original DD-214. You can't have a copy. So if you lose the original DD-214,
What do you do? Good question.
You can use a copy. They can give you a copy. You can request it. There's a form that has to be filled out, and then you mail it to Veterans Administration, and they will send you a copy of your DD-214.
Let me ask you this, another question. You know, this don't really mean nothing, but I actually lost my actual discharge, you know, that you know, the one you get, you know, when you finally, you know, when you're done.
Right.
And, I would just like a copy of just for myself, not the DD-214, but the actual discharge, you know.
Do you know
you
anything
You can
about
contact
that?
Veterans Administration's records.
All right.
And they should be able to give you a copy. There is forms that has to be filled out, but they'll give you a copy.
Okay, so you can get a copy of that, huh?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling, Mike. So when in doubt, to check with the Veterans Administration, is that
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I mean, they have a lot of different departments, mm-hmm. so it can be kind of confusing dealing with the Veterans Administration, but there's a lot of free programs out there that help veterans get the benefits and get the information that they need.
So the important thing is to make sure that you have those documents. Don't lose those documents once you receive them.
No, because you're going to need it if you want any type of veterans benefits.
Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you keep those in this personal file cabinet that we're talking about today. That, you know, keeping this, whether it's an actual file cabinet or, as you said, a fireproof, a fire safe,
right.
In order to keep all these documents organized and keep them together. Now, I think I lost track of where we were talking about legal documents that are important to have. We were talking about a will and those types of things, the deeds to property.
Right.
Anything else in that legal section that you can think of?
That's about it. Your next area is going to be your insurance, mm-hmm. Secondary health insurance, long-term care insurance. A lot of people are not paying into long-term care insurance. Mm-hmm. You may need it because things are expensive. And with the way that the medical industry is, if you're still living in your home and you may need a caregiver, long-term care insurance is something good to have because it's going to help you be able to pay for private care. Your life insurance policy, auto insurance, home insurance, you want to make sure you group all those things together.
Long-term care insurance, you mentioned that. That's a policy that you can start at any point in time?
It usually is purchased through your employer, and
okay.
you can start paying into it at any time. The earlier you pay into it, the more money you have built up.
I see. And so that is a policy that would then, you said, would help with what types
It'll
of services?
It'll help with any type of in-home care that mm-hmm. you may need. If you're still living in your home and you may need a caregiver or a chore worker to come in and help you, it can help pay that person.
Okay. Let's go to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl. What's your question?
Hi. Well, I'm responding to a question from a caller who asked if there was a form like for Christian perspective mm-hmm. end of life. And I think that my parents, they did a prepaid funeral planning. And there was a form with that for the funeral home, from the funeral home. And my dad was able to list his favorite hymn and his favorite Bible verse. And then he also made a note in there about his 45 years serving in the Lutheran schools as a teacher and a principal and all the congregations that he served at. And but that was in with the form that they had for prepaid funeral planning. And that was so valuable for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that there was a form available.
Sure. Well, that's a great point. Thanks, Cheryl.
Uh-huh.
Having your final wishes clearly communicated, whether it's through a form that you get through a prepaid funeral service or funeral arrangements, or whether it be through another agency.
Right.
Having that information, your final wishes, and having it in more than one place, as you said earlier, having so that the people that are going to be making those arrangements have that that information in advance. That's a good thing to do for them, so that
right.
saves them some headaches, and especially at a time when they're going to be grieving and they're not necessarily, you know, going to be probably on the top of their game of knowing what
exactly.
right
and
what
when
needs
you,
to be done.
When you go and try to make arrangements, they're going to ask for proof.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that you're the power of attorney all you want to, but if you don't have proof, mm-hmm. then they're not going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the things that Cheryl was talking about, so that you know, if you're having a funeral service, and it's at a church that you want the pastor to know what your wishes are,
correct.
Then that's certainly helpful as well. Letting your pastor know what those things are, giving your pastor a copy of those final wishes as well for
anybody
your funeral
that you
services.
Feel is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's go to Dale in Eureka. Good morning, Dale.
Yes. You know, lots of good information, but I'm driving along here and trying to drive and remember all that. Come on.
Well, that's a great point, Dale. We're going to get to that, that Erica does this presentation regularly through outreach services with Lutheran Senior Services. And Erica, if folks want to know how to get this information down the road, what can they do?
They can call our, we have a Aging Answers Resource and Referral Line that's manned Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And that number is 314-446-2475.
And if you didn't get that number, you can go to the lssliving.org website later on, and you can find the Aging Answers information under Outreach Services there. Or we're also recording today's program, so you can go to the KFUO website, and you can go back and listen to the program over again through the on-demand section. Does that help you out there?
Yeah, right. And I got another question.
Sure.
My thoughts about wills and trust, that these are kind of cookbook situations, but boy, they charge like heck for them. And a friend of mine said they're wanting to go to an office supply place or a stationery place, and you can buy a will for about $3 or $4 and fill in the blanks, and you're done.
If you're trying to get just a simple will done, there are agencies that will help you for free. Some of them do have income guidelines. But if you call us at that number that I just gave you, the 446-2475, we can link you with those agencies.
The main thing is that you want to make sure that it's a legal document.
Correct.
And so you want to make sure that it's something that's going to be recognized in the state where you reside.
Correct.
Okay. Now, if I may ask another question.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, in my will and trust, I go and set up a trust to avoid the probate. Been through that with somebody before. When I'm gone, I'll have some bit of assets. I really don't have anyone I want to leave it to. And I was, there's a bunch of agencies or what's such that I would like to make donations to. And of course, these things change over time. I'm looking for like someone that I could trust that would go along the guidelines for donations to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different charitable organizations.
You may have to get a lawyer to carry out your estate wishes. If you don't have anyone else that you trust that can do that, then you can make sure that a lawyer will be able to do it.
My experience with lawyers is not good.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's an answer I was afraid of.
Well, and again, this is something maybe the Aging Answers line could also connect him with a resource to help him.
Yeah, sometimes there's free lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your call, Dale. Thanks for calling today. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue. We got to refresh from all these great questions. We'll take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation with Erica Griffin from Lutheran Senior Services on your personal file cabinet, how to get all those important documents lined up and make sure that everything's organized so that you have everything in line. Want to make sure that you do that. So stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's devastating to lose a child to stillbirth or from complications of a premature birth. So Lisa Grubbs from Fort Worth, Texas, created the Angel Gowns program to help parents through the grieving process. Volunteers take donated wedding gowns and sew absolutely beautiful burial gowns from them. Each dress provides about 12 gowns. Lisa knows it won't take the pain away, but every act of kindness helps. She founded a group that provides various support services for parents of hospitalized premature babies or those who have lost children. If you want to donate a dress, need an angel gown, or the services they provide, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. You'll find all the details you need.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day. Radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
As we remember those who have fought to win and preserve our earthly freedom, we also remember him who lived and died to win our eternal liberty. In Jesus, our transgressions and sins are countered and conquered by God's great goodness.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
A Nigerian girl who saw Islamic extremists kill her father and brother has met with members of Congress. 15-year-old Deborah Peters said Boko Haram gunmen came to their home in Nigeria in 2011 because her father was a Christian minister.
They told him they're going to give him a chance if he denies his faith, but my dad refused to deny his faith. He didn't give up.
So they shot him and her 14-year-old brother.
When they shot my brother, that's when my dad died and my brother fell. and he was moving the shooter in his mouth.
Peter met with lawmakers and reporters before a House hearing on Boko Haram and its kidnapping of hundreds of Nigerian girls. Florida Republican Ron DeSantis said,
"You see the video of those schoolgirls being forced to wear Islamic garb, being forced to recite the Quran."
New York Democrat Gregory Meeks said if the girls can be freed, their Boko Haram captors should be killed.
"I want drones. I want something, because they don't belong on this earth."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today, we are continuing our conversations on issues in aging, and our guest in studio is Erica Griffin. She's an elder care specialist with Lutheran Senior Services, and we are discussing important documents to keep on hand and when to keep them updated. We're talking about your personal file cabinet, and as an elder care specialist, Erica gets to work with a lot of people, a lot of different agencies, a lot of different clients in keeping all those documents organized and just making sure that you're keeping all your ducks in a row. And we were talking during the break that just the various agencies and entities that you have to work with all have different requirements and different structures, different timing. So trying to make sure that you keep all those, it can be challenging. But that's why she's here, is to answer those questions today.
Yes.
And to get you connected if you have questions that don't get answered today as well. The Aging Answers line that we referred to earlier, if you have questions that don't get answered today, they can call that. The Aging Answers line is 314-446-2475. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. 314-446-2475. You can call that if you don't get your answers today. However, if you do have questions during the program today, you want to give us a call. The number's here at the studio, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us if you want to email a question. You can do that. family@kfuo.org. We've got more to talk about. Now, we've talked about medical forms. We've talked about legal documents and insurance. We were just getting into insurance before we went to the break. Long-term care insurance, life insurance. What do you need to have when it comes to life insurance? Do you have to have the policy?
You have to have either the policy or the policy's number.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, people just lose the policy with
right.
moving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to go on a research or go searching to try and remember who you had life insurance with, you know, 13 years ago or whatever. So, yeah, it's better if you do have your original policy.
And that's something probably you want to check regularly, life insurance, to make sure the beneficiary is correct on that, right?
Yeah, because if you need to change your beneficiary, you want to do it as soon as possible. You also want to make sure that, especially if you have a prepaid burial plan, that the funeral home has not gone out of business.
Ah, yeah. So, what any advice if that is the case? If you have a prepaid funeral arrangements, and the business has closed.
Hopefully, if someone else purchased the business, they mm-hmm. will honor your prepaid burial. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it just really just depends on how long ago mm-hmm. you've paid for it.
So, your thoughts on prepaid funeral arrangements?
I think they're great. I think you get a chance to, you know, go in and pick out your own casket and, you mm-hmm. know, write your own wishes. And then it saves a lot of heartache on the family, especially with people who are lower income. And if you pass away all of a sudden, they can't come up with the money to, mm-hmm. to do your burial. And a lot of people nowadays are getting cremated when, you know, it's really not something that people used to do back in the day. So with having a prepaid burial, you know that, you know, you don't have to put that stress on your loved one.
And it takes some of that stress off of them during a time that they're grieving and making decisions like that. It's just tough to make decisions like that.
Yes.
Why not make them when everybody's of sound mind and not going through a difficult time, not going through a difficult grieving process?
Right. And a lot of people just don't like to talk about death.
Right.
But yeah. It's something that has to happen. So why not be prepared?
Right. We all die. So, yeah, and just face the facts and deal with it. So insurance, we talked about long-term care, life insurance, auto insurance, home insurance. Those are important documents to keep organized as well, too, huh?
Correct. Especially, I mean, auto, if you're in an accident, you mm-hmm. want to make sure that you have your auto insurance. Your home insurance, if you're in a fire or if any damage comes to your house, you want to make sure that you know your rights also with your home insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If a tree falls on your neighbor's house that came out of your yard, it's really not your responsibility unless the tree was dead. But if the tree was alive, it was an act of God.
So if it was dead, then it was negligence on your part then?
Correct. Mm. And so your responsibility is basically to remove the tree from your yard. But the neighbor is supposed to have home insurance also mm-hmm. that pays to repair their home.
Now, homeowner's insurance is certainly important for someone who owns a home.
Right.
But later in life, many of us might be renting.
And renter's insurance is very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you out a lot in case if you live in affordable housing and the affordable housing building catches on fire and your stuff is damaged. If you don't have renter's insurance, your stuff is not covered. The building, the affordable housing building is covered mm-hmm. with their insurance, but your items are not covered if they're damaged.
So that's important to consider, all the things that you have in your home that that you would need on a daily basis and the things that are important to you. So we're talking furniture, clothes,
right.
appliances, all those things that you own in your rental property, whether it's a rental house or an apartment, affordable housing, whatever that might be. If you're renting, you want to consider, you really want to look at renter's insurance to cover those things, because as you said, if the building burns down, you know, if there's a fire and your property is damaged, that insurance, the insurance for the building doesn't cover your personal items. It doesn't cover your clothing or your appliances and things like that.
Correct. A lot of affordable housing communities now will not let you move in unless you purchase renter's insurance.
Hmm. And that's something usually that could be bundled with, like auto
yes.
insurance or something like
yes.
that. Drivers, you know,
yeah.
that can be bundled with those, so that and you're right. It really is affordable compared to when you're looking at homeowners insurance.
Yeah,
it's
really very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe $13 to $20 a month.
Yeah, it's when you're and you can you can do it, pay monthly or
quarterly,
right? Mm-hmm. Or annually, and have it covered, and then you know that the best stuff is good. Is it important to document your items, like your appliances and things like that, with renter's insurance?
There are forms that you can request through your renter's insurance to where you can write down everything or mm-hmm. take pictures. Now they have it where you can take pictures and archive it
mm-hmm.
If you're computer literate. If not, then you can get those forms and you can write down everything that you feel that you want to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get those forms off of the internet.
And so that's pretty easy to do with today's technology.
Yes.
You can get the forms, or as you said, document it with photos. You just want to make sure that those photos are somewhere that is not going, if you're printing
Correct.
Them, you want to make sure that they're not going to be lost in a fire or in a flood or something like that.
Right.
Or stolen with property as well. Which brings up another interesting question. Storing documents. We talked about having like a fireproof safe.
Right.
What about storing documents electronically?
There are, if you've watched like the commercials on TV where the person is sitting at the desk and they're sliding the papers through, is going through the computer and popping up with the file. There are programs like that. Think Quicken Loans has a program
mm-hmm.
That you can get your files. But a lot of seniors are not using the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So they are kind of the old-fashioned way. You know, some are computer savvy and they can do all that, but the majority of them are pretty much doing it the old-fashioned way.
And it just depends on each individual. I know
right.
talking with Susan yesterday about affordable housing, that we have kind of two different generations now in affordable housing. We have those who are the new seniors in their 60s.
The baby boomers.
Yeah, in their 60s, who who, for the most part, many of them embrace technology and use that type of technology. Then we've got the older generation, the 80s and 90s, who some of them do, but not nearly as many do, because it's not something that they grew up with.
Yeah, they don't want to have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. They keep them in a shoebox.
it certainly depends from person to person, but... Absolutely. So storing things electronically, that can be a good way to keep, especially backup copies of things, scan them and store them electronically in a secure place. That also probably makes it easier for you to share it. Those documents that need to be shared with someone else makes it easier to do that as well.
Yes. But if you are going to do them electronic, I still say you would keep a hard copy because sometimes computers are not the best thing also.
Sure. You want to make sure that there's a hard copy somewhere, whether it be, in a fireproof safe or maybe a safe deposit box somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's further down your list here. I'm working ahead on your list here, aren't I?
That's okay.
How to organize. And we've talked about we've got one more category, financial, right?
Yeah. That's your bank account statement, your mortgage papers, loan papers, investment documents, your tax records. If you have credit cards, you may want to list your credit cards. And then a safety deposit box, that information, if you have a safety deposit box.
Now, you bring up credit cards. Good point. To have that credit card information, in case your credit card is stolen, you want to make sure that you have that information.
A lot of people don't know their credit card number.
That was my point, is a lot of people don't have that memorized, don't know that by heart.
A lot of people are not like me. I like numbers. Mm-hmm. I can tell you man by heart. But a lot of people do not know their credit card number. They don't know how many they had in their wallet or what was in there or what they brought that day. And, you know, it's just a hassle if you are a victim of identity theft.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You want to make sure that you have documentation or proof of so that you can, if you need to cancel a credit card.
Correct.
And if you need to do that quickly, you want to make sure you have that information handy.
Correct.
But you don't want it so handy that anybody else can get to it easily.
Right. You want to have it at home. So just hurry up and get home.
In a secure place.
Right.
We talked about credit cards, bank account information, all this you want in a secure place. Any other documents that fall under that financial category to keep organized?
I think that's about it. Your checkbooks, of course. You don't want to have your whole checkbook with you unless you're going on a shopping spree. you don't really need it, you know. And if you're going and you know that you're going to write checks, just tear off a couple of them and take them with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your identification, that's all you need.
We're probably only, a matter of years away from checkbooks being totally obsolete, aren't we?
I hope not. I like them.
I mean, everything is done so electronically now.
And if you write a check, they're going to convert it to electronic and give it back to you anyway. So it's a waste of paper.
Yeah. So keeping all those in a secure place. As you mentioned, a fireproof safe is a great way to do that. Right. How do we organize these? We talked about that earlier. Maybe the accordion file is one way to organize that information. You said that the old shoebox. People still do that. Even Ziploc bags.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Manila envelopes. A lot of people like the accordion file because they can color code it. They come so different now and they're lightweight. But I do still suggest if you do have an accordion file, if it can smash down far enough to go into a fireproof safe, I think that's the best thing is the fireproof safe.
Other forms, that any other documents that we need to update on a regular basis. We talked about medical information being updated regularly, and we talked about beneficiaries on insurance, life insurance and things like that being updated regularly. Is there anything else that needs to be updated regularly that you can think of?
Well, anytime that there's a change as far as like a death, a birth, a marriage, or anything like that, then you want to always update your papers or make sure that you notify the correct party that these are the changes. Any life changes, you want to make sure that you keep it updated.
Gotcha. Especially wills and things like that.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that those are updated if there are life changes. What about protection of privacy? What's important to know when protecting privacy? Because we talked about keeping these documents in a secure place, but sometimes information just gets out.
Yeah, it gets out, but it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. but sometimes it does. And hopefully there's, you know, not the person or the agency is the one that leaked it. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone shares your information, they should have an release of information on file that says that they can share your information. You know, we cannot do any case management with anyone unless we have a service agreement signed saying that we do give your information to other agencies in order to help you.
What about phone scams? We've only got just a couple of minutes left, but what about phone scams? You know, people calling and saying, we want to help you out, but or we've got information, or you've won this or that, and we just need this information.
Hang up. And that's what you do. You hang up. People are going to call, especially seniors. You get phone calls, probably 5-6 phone calls a day from someone saying that they need you to go get a Green Dot card and call them with the card number. And then 10 minutes later, the money is gone. They need you to sign these papers. Do not sign anything. Do not give out your Social Security number unless you initiate the contact. We don't have Social Security numbers on driver's license anymore. That's a good thing. Shred your information. Don't just throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. There are dumpster divers. They do go in and get your information. I would say shred it or put it in a recycling bin.
You bring up a good point. There's no need to give out your Social Security number over the phone unless it's a phone call that you initiated. You're contacting
Correct.
Someone and you know who's, you know, what agency is for sure on the other end of that line. Even if so, that, and that doesn't mean returning a phone call from some random person that left a message for you. That means you know that this phone number goes directly to such and such agency that you've worked with before.
Correct. There is a lot of phone call scams right now to where they'll call you and let it ring, and then when you call back, they'll get your information and end up billing you some type of way. You can do the consumer mail registry if you don't want to receive junk mail. There's a form that can be filled out. They do charge $1 to register.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't receive all the junk mail that you get. You can opt out pre-screening for credit cards and be taken off that mailing list. You can always do the Do Not Call Registry and the Missouri Do Not Call Registry. So there's two registries. There's a national and a Missouri. So you want to get on both of them, and they will take you off of that. But for the Do Not Call National Registry, you do have to be calling from the number that you want them not to call. For the Missouri, you do not. And then I always suggest that you do your annual credit report.
Hmm.
A lot of seniors don't get their annual credit report because they don't try to get anything. But it's best to get it every year, or there could be something going on with it and you don't even know.
So for more, if folks want help figuring these things out and more details on these, they can get in touch with the Aging Answers line, correct?
Yes.
And that number, 314-446-2475, 314-446-2475 is the Aging Answers line. They can help you with these things. And if someone wants, would like a presentation for a group with the information you shared today, can they get in touch with you to do that as well?
Yes. They can call that number and we can link them with the Speakers Bureau.
Very good. So they can request a presentation on the information you shared today. Maybe you've got a group that wants to find out more, and the Speakers Bureau can get you a presentation on this. Well, we've been talking with Erica Griffin. She is an elder care specialist at Lutheran Senior Services, LSS Living, where older adults are living life to the fullest. Erica, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith
Thank
and Family.
You.
I've had a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. I think our listeners did as well. With all the questions we got in the first half, it was great to hear from our listeners. So thanks for those phone calls today. Erica, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO. Stick around for Reverend Mark Hawkinson, some great music and conversation inspiration on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.